Today we're going to read something which it's actually where Moses was at the burning bush and he received a message from God. And in that, there's many lessons, but we're going to talk about one thing that God has put on my heart. And it concerns knowing the ways of God. The Bible tells us that we know the wiles of the devil. And it's even more important to understand the ways of God. The Bible tells us in Psalm 103, I believe it is, that Moses understood the ways of God. And today we're going to look at one of those ways. It seems to be a pattern throughout the Bible. And if we don't understand this, many times we get confused. We don't really get what God is doing in our lives. And so we're going to talk about that as God leads. Exodus chapter 3, and starting in verse number 16. And this is God's message, part of God's message to Moses at the burning bush. And he says this, "Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, 'The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared to me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen what is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites to a land flowing with milk and honey.'" It's a great promise. They were in bondage of Egypt. Pharaoh was their taskmaster, making them build things, make bricks, build his cities. They were slaves for a long, long time. And to have this message come to them, "Your affliction's going to end, and then you're going to have a land flowing with milk and honey." To people who were slaves and all they knew was slavery for hundreds and hundreds of years, 400 years, this would be a great message. But God does things differently than the way we do. So Moses, as we know, he goes to Pharaoh. He obtains an audience with Pharaoh. He tells them, "Let my people go," is what the Lord has said. And then we're going to turn over just quickly to one verse and Exodus chapter 5. Exodus chapter 5 and verse 7. And this is the way that Pharaoh reacts to such a message, even though clearly it was God's message. Exodus chapter 5, verse number 7. Pharaoh says, "You shall no longer give the people straw to make bricks as before. Let them go gather straw for themselves, and you shall lay on them the quota of bricks which they made before. You shall not reduce it, for they are idle. Therefore they cry out, saying, 'Let us go and sacrifice to our God.'" So what we have here is God gives a promise. But before the promise is fulfilled, many times God gives and allows the exact opposite of the promise. Back at the burning bush, God says, "Your affliction is going to be lightened. Your affliction is going to be over." And all of a sudden, Pharaoh, when he hears the message, he says, "No, not only are your afflictions not going to be over, but I'm going to make them harder for you." Well, let's turn over to one more place just to see this point. Exodus chapter 15 as well. And verse number, let's say 22, see what that says. So this is when finally Pharaoh lets them go after many, many plagues, 10 plagues, you know that. Verse 22 of Exodus 15. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. That's all. So God promises a land flowing with milk and honey. And they finally get released from Pharaoh, and they go out in the wilderness, probably millions of people, and they have no food, or they have no water. It doesn't say food. So they have no water, and God has promised them a land flowing with milk and honey. But what they got in the meantime is a land with not even water. This seems to be a pattern of God, and the pattern is this. Just so you could hear it clearly, that between the time that God promises you something and fulfills the promise, it is a pattern throughout the Bible that often he gives you the exact opposite of the promise, and that is called the wilderness times. And many of you might be in that time right now. Many of you might be in the wilderness period right now. And if you don't understand it, you could be like the Israelites saying, "What happened? I thought this was going to come." Even as Moses, as he went to Pharaoh and he told him, and he figured, I have the promise that the afflictions are going to decrease, and all of a sudden the afflictions increase. It could be a time of great confusion. As we wonder, what's going on here? Did I hear from God? Did I understand from God? How come it seems like the Word of God is not coming to pass in my life? Well, it might just be that you're in the wilderness as well. This is a pattern throughout the Bible. You look at all the patriarchs. Abraham, I'm promised a son. God promised him a son. And it was 25 years, I believe, that he had no son. Absolutely nothing. In fact, it looked impossible for him to have a son. So God promises him something, and then it looks impossible that the promise could be fulfilled. Then when he finally has a son, Isaac, the same thing. God tells him, you're going to have a son. No son. Nothing. God says that you're going to have it. Where is it? How come? God gives the exact opposite after he gives the promise. Jacob, the same thing. You're going to have a son. No son. And we go on to David. Now let's go to Joseph first. Joseph has this dream. In the dream, everybody's bowing down to him. He knows that he's going to be a leader someday. And instead of becoming a leader, God sends him into slavery, and then he sends him into prison, and then he's falsely accused. The exact opposite of what he thought. And it happened to Moses, and it happened to David. David, you're going to be king. He's anointed king when he's just a kid. And for years, he's on the run from the king that God says, I don't accept you as a king, I reject you as a king, but yet he stays there and he torments and he's constantly after David. One small kid, 3,000 of the choice soldiers of Israel are looking for this one guy. That's their full-time job. Look for David and kill him. That's their full-time job. And yet, God promised David that he was going to be the king. But from the time that God promises something, many times his pattern is to give you the exact opposite, and that is called the wilderness, because much is done in the wilderness. Much is gained. Much is built up in our character in that time. And that's what God is doing. God does that. He sends us into a wilderness time so that we can be built up, and so that when we finally obtain the promise, we can handle it. Because character is important to God. And if you don't understand If you don't understand the ways of God, that He does this often, you might get confused, and you might even get bitter, and you might get angry, and you might question God. And you might say, I thought that you were going to do this. How come all of this has happened? It looks like the exact opposite of what you said is coming to pass. And you might even doubt. And you might say, I don't believe it anymore. Because I thought one thing, and now something completely different is happening. Because God is trying to develop our character through the difficult seasons of our lives. This is the pattern throughout the Bible. It happens over and over and over again. And we need to understand it so we know what season we're in. Maybe you're not in that season, but maybe you are. And God does this. An example of this. When I was growing up, there was a movie. And maybe some of you are young enough to remember this. It was called The Karate Kid. Y'all remember this movie? All right, some of you do. Some of you are not. I'll tell you a little bit about it. There's this kid, he was getting picked on. He wanted to learn karate. I'm going to give you a really short version. There's an old teacher. He takes him in. He says, I'll teach you. He gets there all ready to learn, and the guy says, okay, we're going to start your training. And what he does is he brings them to an old yard filled with old cars that were all messed up. And he says, today's training, you're going to wax the cars. And so he says, you got to do this. You got to wax this way. You got to wax this way. And he says, you can't ask me any questions. You just do what I say. So the kid does it. He's obedient. It's a whole day. They show him, oh, I'm hurting my arms. And then the next day he comes back and he says, now you got to paint all the fences around here. And so he shows him, you got to paint this way. You got to paint that way. And then the next day he gives him some other thing, and time goes on and the kid's all getting frustrated. He said, I came here to learn something, but yet it doesn't look like I'm learning at all. I'm not gaining anything out of this. He says, all it looks like is I'm being your slave. I'm doing all of your stuff. And then there came a time when the old man, he throws a punch at him, and all of a sudden, the wax on and the wax off all comes into purpose. Because he sees, okay, I know the moves, and I know how to do this, and I know how to do that. And all of a sudden, all the things become clear. Everything that he was doing, which he thought had no purpose, had quite a purpose indeed. They had quite a purpose indeed. He was actually learning something extremely valuable, even though he didn't see it. And this is what we could liken unto that wilderness period. You could say, I don't see why I have to go through this. This doesn't make any sense. God, what about the promise? All we see many times is there's a promise and I want the promise. And God says, I want character in you. I want to teach you something. And we say, yeah, but God, the promise. And He says, I want Christ in you. And so He sends us through this period. He sends us through the period. You know, we would want God to take the shortest point between two paths. Many times you'll go on MapQuest and you'll pick a route, and all of a sudden you'll know it a little bit, and you'll see that it sends you some strange way. You say, well, this way I know is not the shortest way. Why do we have to go longer? And we as humans want the shortest distance with the least resistance between the two points that we have to go. But God doesn't seem to do that. He doesn't seem to mind to take a longer route to get to where He's going. And so he doesn't mind meandering you through places where you might not want to. You say, this is the shortest way, God. I know this is a much easier path. This is a much shorter path. And God says, He knows. But this is the better path for you. This is a path that will gain you something that's worthy of you doing this. This is something that will benefit you in eternity. So he goes through the wilderness path. This is his pattern. It is repeated throughout the Bible, over and over again, because the wilderness exposes what's in us. The wilderness exposes our character, and it actually helps to refine our character. And that is what God is interested in. It helps to expose what's in. Have you ever met somebody, you know what they're like, and then all of a sudden they go through something that's serious. All of a sudden, maybe it comes on them, and all of a sudden they're thrown into something that's difficult. And then you see their personality come out. If they're good, you see the good come out. If they're not so good, you see all kinds of things come out of them. You say, where did that come from? Because the wilderness brings it out. It exposes the character that's in you. The Israelites, they go into the wilderness and they start complaining about everything. They want to stone Moses. They want all these things. The character of them comes out, and this is what God is trying to show us. What's inside of you? And he does that in this very familiar way. I'll give you a promise. I won't fulfill it immediately. Many times I'll give you the exact opposite of your promise and see what's in you. Because he cares more about character than just fulfilling the promise that he's given you. Because that's his goal. See, we want happiness, and God wants holiness. We want to be happy, and God says, I want you to be holy. Our holiness is more important to God than our happiness. God could easily fulfill the promise, but he wants to do an eternal work in you. If he could create his son Jesus in you, he could create that likeness in you. This will count for eternity for us. Happiness, everything here on this earth that we could gain, it's all temporary. But if God could create Christ in you, if he could create Christ's character in you, this is a big thing. This is worthy of the struggles that we go through. This is what God is doing. Christ would be formed in us. And he does it this way. Many times that verse which says, many are called but few are chosen. This verse used to puzzle me when I was younger. And I'm not saying I understand everything, but I do believe that part of what this is saying is that few are chosen because many do not get the character that God wants developed in you. And if we don't get the character developed in us, he's not going to fulfill the things. Many, the Israelites, it was a 40-day journey at best. Remember, the spies went out, and 40 days later they came back and they had a great report. Look at the fruit. This is great. Man, we had to carry it, two of us, and we were tired. And look at how big the fruit is. 40 days. They end up spending 40 years wandering through the desert. 40 years. Because God wants us to be able to be chosen. And if we don't develop the character that God wants to develop in us, we do not want to be part of those who aren't chosen, because many, it says, are called. Many are called, but few are chosen. few develop that. See, if David didn't go through those difficult times, he wouldn't be the king, or he wouldn't have been the king that he ended up being. All those years of running and hiding in caves and going through the wilderness periods, and he literally too was in the wilderness many times, running through mountains, running around mountains, and running into caves and out of caves. And then eventually he became the king and was in many battles, and he knew the land because he was running through it for many, many years. All of the things that God put him through, they were all useful to him. And if he didn't have that experience, if he didn't have those things, he would not have known what he knew to be the king. And so God doesn't waste this time. You might think it's just a waste of my time. Why can't we just be through with it? And God says, I'm training you, even though you might not see it, even though you might not know it, even though you might be thinking, I'm just doing wax on, wax off. He's saying, no, you're not just doing that. I'm putting you through something for your good. This is the way God does things. And you say, well, why? Why the wilderness? Why? Why not just go straight to the point? Why not just go straight to the promise? And there are a couple that did go straight to the promise. There are a few where God says, okay, you're going to get this, and then they got it. Saul, he was that way. King Saul. God says, you're going to be king the next day, or within a very short amount of time, he was king. But it didn't work out so good because the character was not built in him. The character was not built in him. And he wasn't able to handle all of the power. He wasn't able to handle the job that God had intended for him. He wasn't able to be the king, the person, the man after God's own heart, because he got the promise too quickly, and he wasn't able to handle it. We see it in child celebrities all the time. They get fame, they get money, they get fortune right away, and then within years they're totally messed up because they can't handle such great things. We see it time and time again, even in our own age. Can't handle it because they don't have the character built in them to do it. And Solomon is another one. No struggles. He was told he was going to be a king. He's given the wisdom of God even. And then he made some really bad choices throughout his life. Really bad choices throughout his life. God puts us through difficulties so that we might be able to obtain the things that he has for us. Doesn't mean the promise is gone. It just means God is trying to build you up to a place where you can handle what he's given you. Because many people, even when they do obtain the promise could pull them away from God. Many people, They get what they long for, and they love the promises of God, and they're always good. And those very promises could be the thing that pulls you away from God. And God says, no, I don't want that to happen. I want you to be able to handle the promise, but I need to build you up before you can have it. These are the ways of God. These are the ways of God shown to us over and over and over. And the pattern is there so that we can learn from it, so that we don't get discouraged, so that we could understand where we are in our lives. Because we might be in the middle of something exactly like this. And God is saying, I'm trying to build something in you. Where we're focused on the promise, he's focused on us. Where we're focused on obtaining what he wants to give us, and we're wondering why, and he's saying, no, I'm trying to do something in you. I'm trying to do something in you and your personality and your character. I'm trying to change you into the man or woman that you need to be so that you can inherit the promises safely. No one wants to go through the wilderness, but we're often not given a choice. No one wants to go through that time, but God is the one who makes the choices. We're not the ones who get to say, well, we'll pass on that. He's the one who directs it. Oftentimes our reaction is the one that keeps us there. It could be shorter, it could be longer, depending on our reactions. This also is clear. The Israelites did not need to wait. They did not need to wander for 40 years. But their reaction caused them to wander. God wants to do something eternal. We often want what's temporary. He wants what's eternal. We focus on the promise. He's focusing on our character, because that's what's important to him. He wants his son formed in you. He wants you to be able to handle what he has for you. He has great and mighty things. The Bible is clear. He will do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or even think. He wants to be able to do that for us, and he wants us to be able to handle it without falling away from him. We need to accept where we are and ask God to show us what he's trying to teach us, so that we might learn the things, get through the wilderness, possess the promises of God safely and securely with an eternal purpose accomplished in our lives. In the name of God be praised.